gets the recording up here and then out.
Yeah. Thank God for Jody and Chris. Are you recording?
All right, so today in Genesis chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 16, and the title I've given to the lesson is Delivered by the Ark. And we are looking at it in a spiritual sense, not in the historical or the doctrinal, the teaching sense, but we're looking at the various spiritual lessons we can take out of it. But as you'll see going through, we're looking at it historically. For example, in Genesis 6:16, one of the instructions that God gave, and the instructions begin, I'm going to say in verse 8 of chapter 6, when it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." When you say he was perfect, does not mean sinless, but it does mean that he was complete in his dedication to God. And that's clarified for us when it says Noah walked with God. Now it's interesting, I found when I was studying this, and whatever approach you take to studying the ark, you're going to learn, and his great grandfather walked with God, the Bible says, and was not. Who is that?
Enoch.
Enoch, right. The Bible says he walked with God and was not. When you read back through in the chapters, five and six is what covers it. When you read it, you read about Noah. He walked with God. Well, then you read who Noah's father was, Enoch's father was, and then he had some kids, and one of his kids was Noah, okay? And so his great-grandfather was Enoch, and it was said of him that he walked with God. Here, it's said of Noah that he walked with God. But we're looking at verse 16, where it says, "A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above." So the window was on the top. But now let's read the rest of the verse. "And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof." All right, we know that the door's on the side. That's not nothing revelatory to us here in the class. But it says with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make the ark. So the ark had three levels. So, the ark was designed and planned by God. Now, man's part in Noah and his sons was to build the ark. God gave the plans, and he gave the reason why, because he was going to destroy the earth because of the wickedness of man. Now, I've never read, probably somebody has come up with an estimate on what the population of the earth was at that time. A lot, lot less than today. But the wickedness of man so grieved God, he said, "I've had it, I'm going to destroy the whole mess." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he walked with God. He was a righteous man. And that's what we need to strive for. When I pray for our grandchildren. I pray that they would seek for and live righteously. That's now, there's many details we can pray to achieve that. Lord, take them out of this, see that they get to church. And it seems like that we can pray. But the main thing is God, we want them to be righteous, working their lives to be righteous. And so man's part was building the ark. The message of the ark was supernaturally revealed. As I said, there was only one door. Okay, there was only one door. And we're not given the dimensions of the door. Now, I don't know why God didn't give the dimensions of the door. He gave the dimensions of the window on top. And, listen, don't think in 20th century, or what are we in the 21st century now?
Yeah.
Don't think in the 21st century. Okay. I always get mixed up with, you know, like we're in the 20th century, but this 1900s. I wish they'd have made it the same.
Yeah.
Okay. And I've read why it works that way. You know how I remember that when in the 1900s it was the 20th century? Because 20th Century Fox movies always began, okay? And so, oh, that's right, 20th Century Fox, it was in the 1900s I'd watch them. So that's how I remember things, okay? Now, I know that doesn't seem too high or holy, but that's the way it is. But here in the 21st century, the door, no dimensions. One of the thoughts regarding that is God didn't give dimensions because Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. And any man. And so any of those that were living could have gone into the ark. But they chose not to. And that's something to remember when you think, oh, God destroyed the earth. God left all them people drown. No, the people let themselves drown.
Yes.
Okay. Well, everybody wants to blame God for things. Everybody's looking to put the blame for anything today on somebody else.
Yes.
Rather than to accept it on themselves. There was only one door and there was only one ark. I think I mentioned this in an earlier lesson. There was not a fleet of arks. God didn't say build three arks, okay? He only needed one to accomplish his purpose. He only needs one Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God guided the ark. There was no need for any kind of steering mechanism on it. And it didn't just float and bob here and there and everywhere. Now it floated and it bobbed, but it wasn't aimlessly. God was in the ark, okay, with man. And that's the same way when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Christ is in you. Colossians says about the hope that we have because of Christ being in us. Now, there's three key Bible teachings that non-believers and atheists want to attack. The first is creation. And the second is the flood / ark. And the third is Sodom and Gomorrah. Boy, these are three that the atheists want to attack. And, well, now, Sodom and Gomorrah was archaeologically discovered. They found a city that was right where it was, and it burned just like the Bible says. And the flood and the ark, and they are finding over and over again evidence indeed. How did the, as soon as I tell you something, you'll be able to help, huh? Yeah. My wife always says that. Well, I don't know what you're asking. They'll dig up rocks, and they'll find in them rocks seashells embedded in them. And this is on the top of mountains, and away from the seashore. How did they get there? Okay, and boy, to listen to the double talk that the non-believers want to give to try and prove how they got there. But the fact is, there was a flood. And all them seashells and everything that were where they're normally at now were scattered around everywhere, and they became embedded. So they're discovering that. And of course, creation, that's a whole subject in itself. And there are a couple different Christian organizations that can give you great insight and information regarding the creation. But you see, Jesus in Luke 17 illustrated with the ark and the flood and with Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's turn to that. Keep your place here in Genesis 6. Luke 17. the Gospel of Luke and chapter 17. And we're going to look at verse 26, where Jesus is teaching. And he says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Then he illustrates, "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And so Jesus illustrated his coming again with the flood, the ark, and Sodom and Gomorrah. So Jesus just taught it, you know, it was a fact of history, it was something that existed, and he referred to it. Now, the idea of three stories, what's the purpose of the three stories? Well, some feel, okay, I wasn't there, nobody was there, so they can't speak with that kind of certainty. But, you know, some things are what I think of as logical. Some feel that the ark, the ground floor, the first floor, was for food and storage of provisions. And that represents the part of man, because man is three part. You've got three stories, and of course you have the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you got three there. And so the ark is three, and some feel representative of man who has a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now the spirit what communicates with God, and the soul is the non-physical part of man, the emotions, the will, the mind. So some feel that the ground floor was used for food and storage of provisions. And this represents the earthly part of man, his body. And then the second level, it is said, was for the animals. It was the place of work and activity for Noah and his family. And as such, it represents the soul of man, the area of human activity, the mind, emotion, and the will. And then the third level, by now we have been able to figure out, this is obviously the personal dwelling place of Noah's family, where their intimate family living took place, where they had their family conferences, where the husbands and wives, do you have to go feed them animals again? Why? You never stay at home, you know? Well, we're not at home, remember? We're in an ark. Oh yeah, well, you never stay here either. Now, I'm sure that didn't happen, obviously. But it's the way we are, isn't it, a lot of times? And so, but that represents the spirit of man. Just like the families were up there, they had their intimate relationship. So it is through the spirit of man that we have our intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the ark, so many ways. You see why I wanted Pastor to describe the three ways that a passage, you know, is viewed, because we're doing mostly the third level, the spiritual level. Now, I really do wish that Neil were in the class today. Is anybody here that was at the ark? Oh, you were? What do they say regarding the three levels? You remember, Mike?
Well, it's pretty much laid out, just like you said.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, food's downstairs, which makes sense, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the animal cages are in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And then the upstairs is a lot of information about all kinds of different things.
Okay.
The living quarters up in the back.
Up in the back level. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a place that I hope we're able to get to. the ark. Anybody who's been there and tells about it, it's fascinating to read about it. Now, I began by saying there was only one window. And most people that make a model of the ark or draw it, it's a flat-bottomed boat. And we saw that it only had one door, no dimensions. It also only had one window. And it was about 17 and a half, let's round it off, 18 inches square. And that's why I brought the cubit stick along, so you could see, you know, that squared. One of them. Now it says window. Now when I think of window, I think of something like that over there.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not window glass. Okay? They did not have a window pane. It was an opening. When our pioneers made those sod-constructed, you know, mud huts that they lived in, you know, they put a window in it. Again, didn't have glass. It was just an opening. And this one had a hatch on it. Now, when you read 6:16, you don't read about a hatch. I don't think so. Let me read it again. The window shalt thou make to the ark, in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. Yeah, and yeah, it doesn't say anything about a hatch there. But it had to have a hatch. Number one, to keep the rain out. Okay, significant amount of rain. So we'll keep that out. Plus, he was told to go open the window. Now, if you're opening it, it means it had to be closed. What was it closed with? It was closed with a door. A hatch is what it's called on a boat. And so, but that's how square it was. Now, what was the purpose of it? You know, we don't read about Noah stacking up boxes so he could get up there. We don't read about him putting a ladder there so he could get there. Was it reachable from the top floor? How is it in the recreation of it there? Do you know?
I didn't see one window.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, in other words, I'm wondering, because, you know, we know he took along, what was the first bird he took?
Blackbird.
Huh? Raven, yeah. Yeah, he took a raven. And then the second kind was what?
A dove.
A dove. Now, why did he send a raven out first?
Because a raven will eat anything.
That's right. That's right. A raven will eat anything. And he was able to find bloated dead bodies of animals of all sorts, okay? And that raven was able to find something and get it. And am I remembering right? He sent the raven out and it didn't come back? Because it could find the bodies, it could land on the bodies. But then he sent out a dove. And remember the dove, he came back. And then he sent it out a second time, okay? And he came back with a twig. Wow, watch the end of that platform there. And he came back with a twig of an olive branch, okay? And then it didn't come back, which indicated that the water had receded sufficient that the dove was able to find place to land and branches to pick from and what have you. But that was the size. That square was the size of that window. Now, you know, I can picture me, I don't know what Noah did, but I can picture me getting on a ladder and crawling up there and sticking my head looking around, you know, when that dove didn't come back, just looking around. So, and that's all you need. You're not going out that, though a man could get out of that, even I, okay? Be a tight squeeze, but I can get out of that. And I've been in the crawl space under our house, and believe me, if you get down there, you get through this square. And Mike's been down there, he's shaking his head. And so Noah and his family were not supposed to be looking out. The window was up there, and it was at the top. It had a hatch on it. They were not to be looking at their problems. They were to be looking at God. And Israel, when Israel followed they had to look up to get their leading. A cloudy pillar by day and a pillar of fire by night, but they saw them by looking up. And so that's what Noah and his sons had to do when they were in the ark. They were to look up. Peter, remember when Peter was walking on the sea? He began to sink only after he looked down. Now, you know, we take Peter to task. That if he'd have kept his eyes on the Lord, he wouldn't have, you know, sunk. He would not have sank. He'd have kept up. And so, Peter, but you know, Peter stepped out of the boat, didn't he? We need to give Peter credit to the fact that he stepped out and did go on the water. And you know, we can do that so easily when another believer falls in their Christian walk, when another believer stumbles in their Christian walk. We are so good, that's in quotes, to knock them down. They're already down, we're gonna knock them down some more. We're gonna make sure they stay down. Why? Because they did something they shouldn't have done. As if we never ourselves have done anything we shouldn't. But Peter was walking. Yeah, he began to sink. But the other thing that I think we need to think about with this matter, Peter, and that is, yeah, he took his eyes off of the Lord and he saw the waves and he got scared and he began to sink. But he was close enough, wasn't he? Excuse me. He was close enough for Jesus to reach out and rescue him. So, a lot of times when a Christian begins to sink, often they're backslidden in a way, but that's the sinking process in itself. But so many times somebody is close to the Lord when they begin to sink, and if we'll just look to Jesus and seek his help, he will give it. But back to Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 14. It says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark," and here's where we're going, "and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." Now, pitch is typically a bituminous solution and substance. And the word that is used for pitch normally is that of a bituminous and an asphalt kind of substance. And I can imagine that's what they did. They took a wooden trowel. Now, you know, they didn't go to Home Depot and get it, so I don't know what it looked like. But they had to have a means to take the pitch and to put it on there. And so they did pitch it inside and out, and that waterproofed it. But the interesting thing is, the word used for pitch here is different than the bituminous substance. The word that's used here is normally translated atonement. Okay, now what is an atonement? An atonement is a covering. Through the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood, we have atonement. And we have a covering of his blood to protect us. Now let's go back to the ark. They pitched it within and without. I would expect that was a tarry type substance. However, the word that was used for it wasn't the bituminous or tarry type substance. It was that which is atonement. But now look, I see the two of them together. Because what does the pitch do? It covered the ark so it won't leak. What does atonement do? It covers us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the ark was the covering that protected Noah and his family. It made the ark work. What makes the profession of faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, what makes it work? It's the covering of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the atonement that we have through Jesus Christ. And so I don't see any problem that a skeptic would see a problem, and they would say, well, it says pitch, but it's not describing a tarry substance. It's describing an atonement, a covering, and it's got a religious, how about that? It's got a religious aspect to it. Yeah, that's the purpose of the ark. Save mankind. And the ark, I believe, is a picture of Christ. Repeatedly, we're instructed that without Christ's blood, there is no atonement, no covering for our sin. The covering of Christ's blood provides for our atonement, the same as the covering of the ark provided the atonement that was sufficient for Noah's safety. And so we see just so many fabulous pictures. And even when it says that they were to make rooms shalt thou make in the ark. And here the word rooms carries the idea of a nest. Well, what is a nest? It's a place of comfort, a place of security. Females particularly, they have a nesting propensity. They are prone to for their children, for their husband. They want a place where they can have a nest, where they can have comfort and security and protection. That's natural. and today's leftists, they miss this. And they say, well, a woman shouldn't have to do the cooking and the baking. A man can cook and bake and clean too. Yeah, I know he can. And a lot of them do out of their consideration for their wife who may also be working. But what is the point? Why do they all want to do that? Because that's a nesting ability, a propensity that a woman has to take care of. You think of a bird nest. And we're going to soon see this with the springtime coming. And the mothers, you know, they come and they lay their eggs. And then they come in there and they sit in the nest. They want to take care of the nest. Let's go to another illustration on the other end of the spectrum. And that is when the kids grow up and they begin to move out. And those of you who have kids at home can't imagine it, but you did. So it's coming. And but nevertheless, what do we say? We have an empty nest syndrome. Some people have a real hard time adjusting to that. Now, I rather liked it because I could sit in the sofa and read a book or my Bible and just lay it on the sofa, and I could come back 3 hours later and it was still there. Okay, I like that. I could go look for my tool and it would be where I put it. Okay, and now Mama, that was a different thing. Okay, because of that nesting syndrome, that was hard. Now, I won't say I didn't have emotions when our son, who was the first to leave, I remember one time I walked back the hall, walked in his room, and it was empty, and it hit me, and I began to cry. But that was, you know, that's not typical for me or for a lot of men. Now, there's always exceptions. You have some men that are very tender-hearted, and the nesting thing would describe them. But you see, when he says make rooms, yeah, these were just a room, like we have a Sunday school room. But what was the purpose of it? It was to provide a place of safety, security, comfort for Noah and his family while they were in there. It's rooms, okay? Now, we know in Asian countries, a lot of times, 2-3 generations will all live in the same building. You know, we Americans, we have our own place. And we, in like bedrooms, we have our own bedroom, you know. I don't share my bedroom with the kids. well, when they were long, young, they'd come in. But man, you know how that is. They lay there and their feet were going every which way. And I found the sofa was comfortable. So we had the best of both worlds. They could have their part. And a lot of times, Pat just got up and went over to the kids and laid in their bed. And I thought that was real good. That way I could stay in my bed. Nesting and comfort, that all is involved here in the rooms. Now, not all this other silliness that I was talking. That's not inferred there. That's just, I don't know what that is, why I do that. But I seem to have a real knack and ability to throw that kind of dumbness in there. And so, the perfect safety, the ark being a type of Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have perfect safety. He provides for everything that we'll need. And we can rest. It's called the faith rest. The book of Hebrews especially talks about the faith rest. We have that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and your goodness. And we do thank you for the provisions you make for us. And Lord, even as we think back to Noah and his family and what you did for them, so we know that you will do for us in many practical ways, providing for us as you do. Now we thank you for that, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And then we'll take about half the pizza and take it over there.
Okay,
oh, thank you.